Welcome to Benefit from the Bible, the Bible teaching ministry of Bethlehem Lutheran Church in Parma, Ohio. For a printed copy of this sermon and many others, go to BethlehemLutheranChurchParma.com. God bless your listening. Dear friends in Jesus Christ, since by God's grace we trust in Jesus as our Savior, we are just blessed in countless ways. God wants us to know that it's true. Let me give you a couple of them. First of all, we know we will be welcomed into heaven, and we have a direct line to God the Father in prayer through our Lord Jesus Christ. But here's the question, though. Are we taking advantage of those blessings? Let me ask you a couple questions, and I invite you to respond to them with a show of hands. Whenever we sin, are we sure of God's forgiveness? You know, sometimes it's possible to say, you know, I'm pretty sure, but that was a pretty big sin. Sometimes we can doubt. God is calling us to be sure that when we have Jesus Christ, He wants us to know that we are forgiven of our sins. How about the second one? Whenever we have needs, are we praying? Let's be honest. A lot of times we're like, okay, I have a need. I'll try to fix it myself. I'll phone a friend. I'll do whatever. And then as a last resort, hey, maybe I should ask God to give me some help here in this situation. Isn't that the American way, in a sense? So we could use what God wants us to hear in this sermon today. So as we get into our gospel reading, we come to a situation where there is a mute and deaf spirit, an evil spirit, and it needs to be cast out. We're going to see that the disciples are going to try to cast it out, but they're going to fail in casting it out. We might ask the question, why did they fail? Why sometimes do we fail in our lives at trying to do the will of God? Well, I invite you to listen to the sermon and listen for God's answer to those questions. Going to the setting of what we have here today, we find ourselves in Mark chapter 9, picking up in verse 14, and the Bible says, "And when they, that is, Jesus, Peter, James, and John, came to the disciples," in other words, to the rest of the 12, "they saw a great crowd around them and scribes." Those were the public teachers of the people, the scribes, arguing with them. "And immediately all the crowd, when they saw Jesus, were greatly amazed and ran up to him and greeted him." So what was the situation? Why is it that Jesus, Peter, James, and John, they were off in one place and the rest of the disciples were in another place? That is because just before this reading, earlier in chapter 9, that is where Jesus and the three, they went up on the high mountain and Jesus was transfigured before them, but not everyone was up there, just Jesus and the three. In the meantime, while the other disciples were apart from them, that is when the Father came with his boy who had a mute and deaf spirit. He asked the disciples to cast out the spirit. They tried to do so. They thought they could do so. But the problem is they failed to do so. And then the scribes, they were right there to be critical that they could not do it. An argument began. Finally, Jesus shows up, and now everyone is drawn to him. So that gives us a setting of what's going on here. Going on to part two, we come to the inability of the disciples. Picking up in verse 16, the Bible says, "And Jesus asked his other disciples, 'What are you arguing about with those scribes?' And someone from the crowd answered him, 'Teacher, I brought my son to you, for he has a spirit that makes him mute. And whenever it seizes him, it throws him down, and he foams and grinds his teeth and becomes rigid. So I asked your disciples to cast it out, and they were not able.' And he answered them, 'O faithless generation, how long am I to be with you? How long am I to bear with you? Bring him to me.'" So there was a battle here of evil versus good. And the evil spirit, for the most part, he was winning the battle. Basically, he was having his way with the boy. He made him mute, and from time to time, he seized him and threw him down. So the father, he brings the boy, hoping to find Jesus, finding his disciples instead. So the disciples are going to cast it out, but they could not do it. So what went wrong? Why were they unable? Jesus told us what went wrong when he called them faithless. The problem was not the strength of the evil spirit. Some people could say, oh, I've got this issue in my life, and it is such a big issue, that's the problem. Is there any issue too big for God? By no means. Is there any spirit too strong for God? By no means. So we can't conclude that. The problem was not the strength of the evil spirit. The problem was the distance of the disciples from the power of God, which was needed to cast out this evil spirit. It seems that the disciples may have become somewhat mechanical in their motions. Sure, initially they were close to Jesus, they were trusting in him, they knew about the power, they witnessed it, they utilized it, and yet, after a period of time, now they're kind of into this mode of going through certain motions without thinking about what was going on, maybe without tapping into the power of God in prayer. Can we become mechanical too in how we go about things? I think we very easily can. Let me give you a few examples. Can we attend, even here at Bethlehem, while at the same time forgetting about our need for God's blessings? So sure, we show up, but we don't show up expecting to receive anything, and we walk out the door not having received anything. That can happen when it becomes mechanical. Can we sing the hymns, and yet we're not really thinking about the words? The hymns are prayers, but we can sing them without praying them. Also, too, when we pray the Lord's Prayer, how often do we do that? How easy is it to work our way through the whole thing and not really think at all as to what we're even saying? Are we mechanical in saying to our loved ones, I love you? Can that be a mechanical thing? By all means. There are many things that we can fall into patterns, and they might look good, they might sound good, but they're not heartfelt. They're not really true. They're not really pleasing to God. God wants us to realize that that can happen. So why is it that God let the disciples fail to cast out the spirit? I believe he did that to get the attention of the disciples and to get our attention even today, because we can be somewhat like them. Let's go on to the third part. We come now to the uncertainty of the Father. Verse 20, and they brought the boy to Jesus, and when the spirit saw him, immediately it convulsed the boy, and he fell on the ground and rolled about, foaming at the mouth. And Jesus asked his father, how long has this been happening to him? And he said, from childhood. And it has often cast him into fire and into water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said to him, if you can, all things are possible for one who believes. Immediately, the father of the child cried out and said, I believe, help my unbelief. So the evil spirit was definitely powerful. Casting the boy into fire in order to burn him, casting him into water in order to drown him, yet God did not permit the evil spirit to destroy him. The evil spirit tried and tried and tried, and God did let him go that far, but he did not let him go far enough to destroy him. God wants us to know that he is always in control, even when it seems that things are out of control. God is always in control. Thinking on that topic, I would invite you to join us for Bible class today as we work through some things in Daniel chapters 10 and 11. Such detail is laid out as to what's going to happen And then just as God said, it happens. God wants us to know that he knows all that is yet to come. He is in every situation. What about the father? He believed Jesus might be able to help with his boy, but he just wasn't sure. What was going on there? In a sense, in his heart, you had belief and unbelief, and there was a battle right in his heart. Do we have the same battle too sometimes? Sure we do. God can say certain things in his word, and we're like, boy, that seems impossible. So unbelief is winning, but God is saying, wait a minute, all things are possible with me. So now belief is rising up thinking, well, it seems impossible, but yes, God could do that. He can do all things. So we can have this battle too. But God wants us to know that whatever he says, we can believe it. We can take it to the bank. We can be certain it is true. So when the father had this battle going on, Jesus gave him some words of encouragement. He said, all things are possible for one who believes. Then the father cried out, I believe, help my unbelief. Sometimes we can have doubts too. Let me share with you some that maybe have come up in your life or in mine. Do we doubt God's promise to provide our needs? Now, God didn't say he'd give all the wants, but he says he is our Father in heaven, he knows our needs, and he will provide our needs. Do we doubt that sometimes, though? Are we uncertain if we will have what we need? Are we unsure about our entrance into heaven? Oh, yeah, I know I'm a sinner, Jesus died for me, but... And then we're thinking about various sins, or we're thinking about different things that maybe somehow would exclude us. Do we have doubts about what God has promised about heaven? Or how about this? Do we doubt God's ability to be able to work through us in order to be a blessing to others? We might say, oh, dear God, thank you for having blessed me, but I don't think you could ever use me to do anything significant for anybody else, so I'm just going to thank you verbally, but I'm never going to put into action anything to be able to take action for someone or to be able to speak your word to someone else, because you could never use me in that way. Do we have doubts about such things? We have doubts about a lot of things, I think, but whenever we have a doubt, what should we do? We should cry out like the man did and say, I believe, help my unbelief. God wants to strengthen us. He wants to build us up. How's he going to do that? One way he's going to do that is when we get into his word, and another way is when we tap into his power through prayer. Let's not be like the vacuum cleaner that's not plugged in. That's no way to go through life, is it? Let's go through life with power, and that's going to be through a closeness to God, and that includes prayer. Let's go on to the final part here, part four, the power of God in prayer. Here we see the spiritual battle continue. Verse 25, and when Jesus saw that a crowd came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, you mute and deaf spirit, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again. I thought that's interesting that Jesus adds that. Sometimes we might pray in such a way, but it's kind of right for the moment. But Jesus was thinking about the entire life of that boy. Sometimes we need to have that kind of thought process when we're praying too. And then it says, and after crying out and convulsing him terribly, it came out. And the boy was like a corpse, so that most of them said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he had entered the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could we not cast it out? And he said to them, this kind cannot be driven out by anything but prayer. So in round one, we might say of this battle, the evil spirit easily won over the humans. In other words, over the disciples who were going through things in a mechanical way. Here, Jesus gave a command, and then the evil spirit seemed to win again, because basically everyone was of the opinion that after Jesus said what he said, then the boy had died. So what had the spirit been trying to do all along? He was trying to destroy the boy, and it seemed to most as if he had destroyed the boy. Isn't that how it seemed when Jesus died on the cross? Oh, the Son of God just died. The devil just won. But God works like that, doesn't he? So when he seemed to lose, in fact, he won. When the boy seemed to be dead, in fact, the evil spirit was gone. Because Jesus raised him up to reveal his victory, God the Father raised up his Son to reveal his victory. So the forces of evil are powerful, but Jesus, who is God in human flesh, he is always more powerful, much more powerful. So the battle was over, but the disciples were confused. They couldn't understand, how could you do it, but we could not? And then Jesus told them again, this kind of evil spirit cannot be driven out by anything but prayer. Spurgeon, a famous 19th century preacher, made this comment in connection with this idea about the need for prayer. If we are to do the Lord's work and to do it successfully, we must have faith in him. We must look beyond ourselves. We must look beyond our personal qualifications. We must look beyond our former successes. We must look for a present anointing by the Holy Spirit, and by faith, we must hang upon the living God from day to day. Can you imagine the disciples? They were hanging on to something in the past, and yet in the present, it had probably become mechanical. They had drifted away from the power of God, and now they failed in what they tried to do. That can happen to us too. We can seem to be rooted in such a way that we're like, oh, we don't need any more nourishment. We don't need any more closeness to God. We're doing fine. But yet, is there power in our lives? Or are we really just going through the motions and nothing is changing? Are we praying for people and there are no results? Because we're simply saying the words and not really tapped into the power of God. These things can happen. We have all had our failures, and yet we are longing for success, aren't we? Aren't there people that we care about? We want something different in their lives, and yet it doesn't happen. So what should we do? God is calling us to stop being mechanical, stop trusting in ourselves, and start proceeding with feeling, with truth, with God's power through prayer. Here at Bethlehem, we provide at least two opportunities every week to gather with others and pray about our own needs, the needs that other people have, and the many requests that we have on our Faith in Action sheet. When I think about the end of our services, it's a golden opportunity, and yet very few take advantage of the opportunity to be able to pray. It's kind of a distressing thing when we think about the great power that is there, and yet almost everyone is saying, oh, forget about that, and they just walk away. Now, I'm confident that you're praying at other times and in other places, but it's a powerful thing to gather with someone else and pray. This is a golden opportunity. After the service, you could say, well, I don't have any needs myself. And I really can't think of anyone I know who has a need. And our nation is a perfect nation. Oh, however, though, we do have a whole list of people here that need our prayers. Maybe I would go forward and simply pray about these people right here after service. Aren't there always all kinds of needs that we could take to God? Wouldn't it be a neat thing if after the service was over, today or on any given week, that not a single person went out that door, but everyone came forward and spent 3 minutes talking to God in prayer about various needs? Wouldn't that be a powerful thing? So if you are willing to do something in order to increase your praying beginning today, I invite you to say amen. Amen. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, what a privilege it is for us to be able to come to you in prayer. We know that prayer can take time, and sometimes we can reason and say, I'm going to get right at the task and not even pray But yet let us know, dear Father, that that is foolishness. It's like trying to use a vacuum cleaner without plugging it in. It just won't work. Help us to recognize the power that you want to give to us in prayer, and then help us to begin every task with prayer. Make us people who are prayers, and may that begin today, and may that continue day by day in our lives as we use the Faith in Action sheet, as we use My Daily Prayer Guide, as we pray for many and various things. We thank you for hearing us for Jesus' sake, and we pray for your powerful blessings upon us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks for listening. If you are searching for a church, give us a try at Bethlehem. We are located at 7500 State Road in Parma, Ohio. This is our Sunday schedule: service at 8, study at 9:30, service at 10:45. We also have a service on Mondays at 7 p.m. These are other ways to connect with us. Visit our website, BethlehemLutheranChurchParma.com. Subscribe to our podcast by searching for Benefit from the Bible. Visit us on Facebook by searching for Bethlehem Lutheran Church Parma. Call us at 440-845-2230. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you.